to the nerdy news you need to know throughout the week on iHeartRadio and podcast services around the world, because my name's Hoodie.
And I'm Kevin.
And you're officially listening to this Thursday post, or now current, DCU era of what, Kevin?
Crisis.
On
Infinite
Podcast.
Definitely going to give you our thoughts on that, because they're... I think it's a mixed bag out there. It's not totally left or right. It's definitely a mixed bag.
And that's the beauty why we decided, you know what? Just release the podcast now immediately on a podcast service near you or on YouTube or twitch.tv/infinite_pods.
There you go.
Because the people want to know. The people demanded, a.k.a. my brother really just wanted to know what we thought of James Gunn's DCU announcements.
Let's imagine your brother has his own right now in a truck heading to like a new scene. It's like, hold on, I gotta listen to my brother.
But we're obviously talking about that. We are talking about E3 and how not looking too good right now, even though it looked like, okay, it's coming back, and maybe not. We're talking about Jedi Survivor, unfortunately, having some sad news, and obviously ending the episode on Thursdays, as usual, talking about The Bad Batch, episode 6 this time.
Episode 6 had a familiar face come back and another familiar face come back. That's pretty cool.
Yes. But like we said, you can see everything. We're posting everything we're talking about at hot995.com/infinite_pods. Right, I did that. Wait. #crisiscrew. My bad. I mixed the two. And then you can go, like we said, the YouTube, the Twitches, infinite_pods, and even our Twitter, because that's where most of the time we put the breaking news at before we're able to talk about it.
Branding. It's branding. It's
synergy. Make it the same synergy thing, except the website, because websites, it costs you for those underscores.
Unless you want to do Wix for free and it's just a big old disaster.
No, you know, we got provided a gracious hyperlink. We're good to go. But we normally start the podcast with what you're doing, where we talk about the things we've been playing, things we've been watching, and the lives we've been living, because it is Thursday. Ya boy Hoodie right here gets to go first, and I'm happy to say I guess this is an adult moment. I was able to reapply a loose string to a hoodie, and I was really proud of that. The little drawstring you use to close the hoodie, put it back in, and it fits now. We're good.
I had an issue with drawstring sweatpants. One disappears, and you just never see it again.
Well, that's the thing. So I love, I got my Mando hoodie, which I've worn on the podcast sometimes, from Barstool. The string came out. It is what it is. You got to make those little ends chunkier than what they are so they don't go into the actual hoodie. And for the longest time, almost like maybe a year actually, the string's just been chilling on a hanger. Today, Kevin was finishing something. We'll talk about it before we started the podcast. I was like, you know what? I got 10 minutes. And it took me 10 minutes to get the damn thing through the two holes, but it happened.
You being an adult.
Yeah, I'm trying. But on top of that, Moore and I are continuing to watch The Physical Show on Netflix. It came out with new episodes again on Tuesday, and pretty good. It is very like, all right, we get it. We're doing the same competition, but they show every competition. It's not like, all right, you get the gist. We're going to skip through like 50 of them. Nope, got to go through all 50.
Actually, last time you said the show's from North Korea.
Just Korea. So I'm assuming South Korea. Yeah,
I always get my Koreas mixed up. The bad one's the North one.
Bad one's the North one. Yeah, that's correct. But you know, if you're living there and watching us, I don't know how, but congrats.
Turn us off. Your life is more important. I was going to say, is it like subtitled or is it dubbed? Or is it?
We're watching it subtitled. Well, we're watching it with subtitles and dubbed technically. So the translators are talking, and it's really like one guy doing all the male voices and one female doing all the female voices. And it's always like, oh, yeah, but this show is good because you can identify people because of either their tattoos or their body type, which I don't know how I feel about that being sizist a little bit with some people, but that's how we identify them, okay?
I get what you're saying. I was just curious because I've never watched American Ninja Warrior was kind of a Japanese port that was just, it was dubbed in English just by the announcing, but you just didn't see the announcers on TV.
This might be something you watched. It was on Spike TV, I think, back in the day. It was MXC, which was also kind of obstacle course. It's pre-American Ninja Warrior, but wasn't like super fit American Ninja Warrior. It was like anyone could do it.
I remember that show. Yeah, I remember those initials.
I feel like that was everyone's first like dubbed international reality show. Didn't do the best properly representing the show is doing. Mostly doing jokes of stuff. But interesting enough that like we're at this point, and that kind of might have been one of the pivotal steps into getting Korean-based shows on Netflix, which Netflix we'll talk about in the news section. Don't worry about that.
Best show that Spike ever did, and if you're in the chat on YouTube or on Twitch, let us know if you've seen it. The best show they ever did on Spike TV, besides wrestling, was Slam Ball.
Slam Ball? I do not remember. What is Slam Ball?
It was trampoline basketball. So people would just hop on a trampoline and hop like 40 feet in the air and just dunk. That was the whole game. It was amazing.
Okay, so there was that. What year was that? Like the 2004? Yeah, or something
early,
like that?
early to mid 2000s, like 2000, I think 2001, 2006 or so.
Same time era, but we need to talk about how when Dodgeball the movie came out, and then they made a dodgeball competition show, and they actually had like drafting of players. Rip Torn was like the commissioner for some dumb reason because he was in the movie. Only actor that would agree. But I got so intense on that because I was like, this is so good. And I think it had like two seasons. Everyone praised who won the first season. They came back the second season. It wasn't the same.
Funny thing about Spike had kind of the same fate as G4. Eventually, they just show Cops all day. And that's all they did.
And that's what happened. And now it's Paramount and got Yellowstone on it. So there you go.
Yeah, honestly, I'm a little worried about MTV because all they do now is show Ridiculousness all day.
Ridiculousness kind of the and thing. Then 16 and Pregnant or whatever the show's called nowadays. I don't know.
Understand how nobody's like, you know, probing that. Like, are you guys okay at MTV? Does anybody work there? And is there one person?
That's the other thing, because MTV used to have like Sweet 16, which was everyone's dream. Even if you were a guy or a girl, like, I want a Sweet 16 like this, damn it, on MTV. It was True Life and then Made, I think, was the other one, where you always confused True Life and Made, because Made was like, we're going to change you and turn you into a different person. True Life was like, no, this is just how they live. That's it.
And they had a diary, which is cool, about music and television stars. The one show they had that hooked me so much, and one day I just lost the whole day. What was it? It was like the OC, but it was like a reality show.
Laguna Beach.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that used to hook me on a Saturday. I'm like, why do I care about these rich people in California?
And we can't forget about Pimp My Ride, because it gave us Exhibit. Oh, yes. So come on.
And that show got sued a lot.
It's still going on, apparently, in the UK. And
really?
I think BuzzFeed put an article of, like, this is what happens when you're actually, like, on these type of shows, like a reality-based show like that. And a person's car, like, got mold in it somehow when they redid the upholstery and everything.
Horrible.
I'm like, geez. I'm like, Pimp My Ride looks so cool. And then, you know, they put a fish tank in your car. You're like, why? Oh, they put a sewing kit in the back. For what?
That was the thing. They would do all the stuff to the car, but not actually fix it. So it would still have like rotted, you know, underbodies, and the steering wheel only turned left.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a PS2 in your car, though.
You could do it. Speaking of PS2s in your car, which is why I had this perfect transition lined up from the start. We need to talk about, check it out at @Infinite_Pods on any social media, that Fast and Furious, in preparation of the Fast X trailer, they're re-releasing trailers for all the OG movies for the next 9 days till they get to the 10th day. The first one came out today for the Fast and Furious, and it's so weird to see that movie came out June 2001, and just like, wow, like completely different time, completely different looks on everything, but they modernized the trailer, so it looks cool like today's terms.
I was a puppy. I was a legit puppy when that trailer came out.
I was in first grade when that came out.
I must have been in sixth grade, maybe.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Speaking of, because the guy in the first race who raced Ja Rule, Vin Diesel, and Brian O'Connor, he had a PS2 in his back and was like pretend racing. I think it was Need for Speed he was playing in the back of his trunk.
It was Gran Turismo. He was doing that.
Oh, Gran Turismo. Well, that makes sense. Sony had some sponsorship in there, I see.
Hey, exactly. That I was saying before we started recording, that movie is just like random techno half the time.
But you know what? It's still going, baby. 22 years strong, you know?
Brian O. Spinner. Is that a circular name? Is that what you are? No. Well, how'd you make the jump from serial killer because he said hi to your sister?
And they stole DVD players, and Ja Rule said, Monica! And it was... great. That was in the trailer. So they know it's a meme and they love it. So,
oh my gosh, Ja Rule's song in that movie was like infectious. It's a world in it. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I don't even think the J-Lo song had come out by then. Him and J-Lo.
Might be pre J-Lo. Oh my gosh. Wow,
what a time. What a time. But two more things before we switch over to you, Kevin. The Last of Us episode 3, you need to watch it. Great. Increased its viewership again. And the third episode, masterpiece, gets a chef's kiss from Hoodie. Two chef's kisses, actually. And won't be surprised if both the actors in the show, Nick Offerman, aka Ron Swanson, and I think it's Murray Bartlett, who's the manager from The White Lotus season 1, they're probably going to get Emmys for it.
Yeah, I'm hoping maybe I can get into the show this weekend. I'm thinking maybe I should wait until episode 4 because I'm reading that 3 answers on such a down note. I don't want to be depressed.
It is a sad note, but it is a like it's a sweet sad. It's up but extended, you know. So
wasn't that sad as when like another episode of Walking Dead when they were singing around a fire and somebody came out of nowhere and bit that girl on the arm and that she was dead?
I don't remember that episode, but I'm going to say Up, but sadder. The first 5 minutes of Up.
Oh God. I can't take that. I've only Up like 3 times. I refuse to go back to
Yeah, I don't think I really watched it either, even though I know it's good, but I'm just like, I can't. Not especially right now, I'm engaged. Like, it's a completely different time now. That's going to affect me now.
I do kind of, every once in a while, I use the squirrel gif. From the movie.
Yes, of course.
Squirrel.
And then one last thing. This is actually, no, Kevin, you go, because I'm going to make this the first news story that we talk about.
Gotcha. So, as you know, today is the day that they've released Wakanda Forever on Disney Plus. And we were going to record and stream a little bit earlier, but I had to get my daughter early from school because a half day. And she would not let me do anything until we sat down and watched Wakanda Forever. To the point that after it was over, she wanted to watch it again.
I mean, why so not? I'm like, why wouldn't you?
Wow. And it's weird because I've tried to, you know, like in the show her clips here and there of the MCU, try to get her into it. Like, here's Black Widow's cool, right? You know, here's it's Wanda, here's She-Hulk. And it's like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. She absolutely loves Shuri. Like, to the point where after the movie was over, I showed her, like, you know, the introduction of Black Panther into the MCU in Civil War. She was like, yeah, that's cool, but where's Shuri? I'm like, Shuri wasn't, they didn't introduce her yet. It's the first Black Panther. Oh, that's okay. No, where's Shuri? I'm like, okay, I guess that's fine. Shuri, if Shuri's your entry point, and then maybe we can jump off from here. And when she shows up and whatever next thing they do, and then maybe from there, when she's probably like 8, you know what? If you like the MCU, let's go all the way back to Iron Man.
Now, you know what I mean? Are you going to try to like get her hooked on the Young Avengers? So, you know, your Kate Bishops, your America Chavez, like those characters, because the younger characters she can kind of grow up with.
I think that's going to be the thing to do because I think she likes Shuri because, you know, Tisha Wright's not a large person. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's, you know, 15, 16 years old. Yeah, you know, she's a grown woman. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she likes it so much. And she sees, number one, and this is why representation is so important. She sees a young woman that looks like her and that she actually does look like a young woman. She's like she's 14, 15 years old and not like, you know, a grown 30, 40-year-old woman. Kind of like Okoye. You can tell Okoye is older than Shuri. Mm-hmm. But she loves Shuri so much. I think she wanted to watch it again because she's starting to really like Riri. She's like, what's her name again? Riri?
Well,
she's cool.
Riri's going to have a whole show. So there you go. You and Leah can watch and she can report on the show.
Exactly. But I told her to wait till her mother gets home and watch it again together later. I took a couple naps through the movie because I haven't been feeling well today. So it was one of those things where I would just kind of like, I would watch that scene, fall asleep, wake up. She's sitting there like this, standing up. And then I would fall asleep again. She wake up. She's sitting down like this. I'm like, this is a heavy movie. And she's really into it. Like, because, you know, like other MCU movies, I figured she would be like a Thor. Like Ragnarok is kind of like slapstick movie a little bit. Or even like Ant-Man is funny. But she likes the drama-filled sad movie of the franchise and not like, you know, the beat-em-up ones. But other than that, like I said, I haven't been feeling well today. I feel well enough to do this podcast. But it's definitely been a long day.
That's okay.
Long day.
That's okay.
But other than that, still making some headway on God of War. I'm starting doing my side missions. I haven't touched a main mission in a while. The side missions are actually pretty cool in this one. They kind of add lore to the game to just being like a side story. Mm-hmm. You go to this place called, actually, it's called Nivadilir, kind of like actually in Infinity War. But it's like the dwarf land, basically.
Uh-huh.
And you find out that Ymir, one of the characters in the game, he's been around for like a billion years. He did stuff to this land back when he was younger, and you're trying to undo it now so he can have green paper from the dwarf. So it's pretty cool. I'm definitely thinking that God of War does the Norse mythology a little bit better than Valhalla.
Yeah, I think so. They kind of, you know, they're more story game, and Valhalla is kind of like, just go explore and waste your time.
Yeah, Valhalla was a little bit weird because you were going through from a dream world to the real world back and forth, whereas this is like, no, this is real. You're from the Greek mythology, now you're in Norse mythology. The better way to do it. But looking to get back into that maybe next week, because like I said, I'm going away this weekend. So we'll get too much gaming in this weekend.
Okay, well, are you ready for the news, Kevin?
Well, it's time for the news.
It's time for the news.
It's time.
There we go.
News.
Thought it didn't work there for a second. It was a little quiet. First things first. First things first, I'm the realist. Gonna keep playing that till we're done with it. We have to congratulate one alumni of this podcast because he's made his big screen debut.
He has.
Technically, his streaming debut. We'll count it as big screen debut. I don't know how you define big screen debut, but one Javi Scott has officially made an appearance, and we just realized because we both are watching it now, in the 7th episode of Mythic Quest, you can actually see Javi make his first on-screen appearance as a hardware store employee.
That is so cool. The reason he left the podcast was because he wanted to do what we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he brought us into a room to talk about it, we thought he was mad at us. We don't know, what do we do?
So I'm gonna show it to them. I'm gonna try to. I gotta turn this off. Let's see if that helps. That helps a lot. Okay, and then there you go. There. Yeah. So the thing is, we haven't posted a picture because Apple won't let us screenshot the damn picture of the show. So we're gonna let this count as it. But Javi goes, "Hey, what the hell do you think you're doing?" And that's our man right there. Right there.
That's a little buff there, doesn't he?
You know, he getting a little swole. I'm gonna try to. There you go. Look at that right there. There's Javi.
Look at him, the knowledge glory.
We're proud of you.
Glory.
So, yes, Javi, we are proud of you. I'm going to put my light back on. Give me a little tan, at least a little bit. And so hyped for you, dude, because this is the first mini step in a steps of many for you.
What is it? It's a small serpent to a larger world.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
I remember, actually, he texted us like a year ago that he was going to be in it, and we had to wait. We have to wait because there are a lot of times in Hollywood and TV where people are in things and they need to edit them out. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what's her name from Cersei from Game of Thrones? She was in Love and Thunder, but he edited her out.
Yeah, we didn't. We were good. I don't think we needed her.
That's kind of, maybe it did because nobody likes that movie. Nah, I think it's fine.
It's okay. But Javi, we're excited. We are hyped for you and excited to see what's next because the boy has an IMDb page now. So that's a start of many.
Predicting that Javi will be Blue Marvel.
Ooh, Javi, you going to tell us something? All right, we'll get. But hopefully, maybe we'll get him back on one day and ask him how it all went down.
Hey, man, how's it feel being a big star?
A big star. But speaking of big stars, obviously Javi being one of them, we have to talk about obviously the main thing of this podcast. James Gunn has announced the first chapter, not phase, chapter of the DCU.
Yes, he posted a video yesterday. It was 12 o'clock our time, right?
Yeah, pretty much on the dot. And we can all thank Kevin for instituting his 24-hour rule. And literally, James Gunn apparently heard the news that Kevin instituted a 24-hour rule where he'd get beat.
He knew I was real. I was like, hey, man, fed up with your stuff.
He heard through the twitches that we crossed wires with James Gunn.
Yeah, he's going twitches like, oh, my God, this guy's mad at me. You know what? I need to make it right. I need to make it right.
What really happened is, luck of the podcast, there was a private press event with James Gunn. We actually made the announcement so that way every news press outlet could have articles ready to go on Tuesday. That's what happened. It was on the WB lot, which is funny because I saw a YouTuber that, like, the next day was on the WB lot. I was like, should have been there a day earlier. You would have had a bigger news video.
Too late, buddy. Too late.
But essentially, we find out that James Gunn's DCU will officially really start in 2025. But he actually did make some explanations for the three DC movies coming out this year, as well as a couple future DC movies that won't be part of the DCU.
Yeah, he kind of started off with what he's calling DC Elseworlds.
Mm-hmm, which I'm a fan of, because we know what Elseworlds is nowadays.
Yes, and that's going to constitute Joker, the Batman. We've got a title, the Batman Part 2. Mm-hmm. It'll be called something else probably in the year. But that's what Joker is. Batman Part 2, the Joker trilogy, Teen Titans Go, and Superman and Lois, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all Elseworlds DC things that will not be in James Gunn's DC linear story, basically.
Ooh, and the J.J. Abrams supposedly going to be the Black Superman movie as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That kind of went away.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe the Static Shock thing counts under that. But they didn't talk about the Static Shock thing, so we're not sure 100% on that. But like Kev said, what it means is these things will happen. They don't have to particularly be canonized or relate to everything, a la how James Gunn has instituted. Everything, video games, TV shows, and movies will be played by the same actors. There's a little bit of a cinch there based on the animated shows and the video games, especially a lot of video game unions saying, hey, whoa, you just denied a lot of video game actors money.
You just got a lot of people out of work, basically.
Yeah. So that obviously we'll get there when we get there. But pretty much James Gunn opened up the conference saying, you know, we're going to be authentic in this DCU and tell you what we really want, what we want you to really see. Oddly enough, he actually commented on a couple of movies coming out now in this year on how he felt about them. Pretty much saying that Shazam's coming out. So is The Flash. The Flash is going to reset the DCEU. Then we have Blue Beetle coming out this year, which he said he was a fan of. And he didn't talk about Aquaman at all. And he said no comment when people asked about it. So still not sure what's happening with that. But that's this year. And those are the last kind of remnants of the DCEU. Maybe they might move into the DCU later on.
Definitely the last remnant of the Snyderverse. And there are a lot of Snyder Bros upset. I'm like, yeah, I need to move on with your life, man. Stop holding on to the past. Let it go.
Interesting thing is, he did say for Shazam, Fear of the Gods, that they've kind of been doing their own thing. Shazam has been, even though the first one heavily relied on the Justice League existing in that world. So pretty much Shazam's probably going to be the finale for that group of characters, and including Black Adam. The Flash, he did say he actually thought it was good. He did say we'll see what happens with Ezra Miller after they do their rehab stint, based on how, if their Flash will make it into his DCU. But it is a reset point. That's kind of the tiny kickoff into what he calls Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters for the DCU.
It's no way he's coming back, by the way. There's no way in the world that can happen.
Yeah, there's no way they're coming. They're coming back.
They're coming. You're right. Sorry. Yeah, there's no way they're coming back. There's no way in the world that can happen.
But pretty much what he said was this chapter, which everything he announced was a couple of projects, isn't the entire, we'll call it phase one of the MCU. It is not that entire chapter. It's just the first 10 projects coming out. And it's kind of a mixed bag. There's a little bit of like, okay, yeah. And then a little bit of, huh? What is that?
Yeah. The first one he's coming out with is a series called Creature Commandos,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit of a deep cut of DC comics. I don't know who they are, but you know, everybody that's been reading this stuff for 30, 40 years, they know exactly who they are. And he said this will be a mix of live action and animation. That's what's kind of interesting about it. But past that, it kind of seems like he's crawling before he can walk. That makes sense.
Yeah, so this one's actually just going to be animated, Kevin. It's going to be seven episodes of animated. It's going to have Rick Flagg Sr. in it, which is interesting because Joel Kinnaman was Rick Flagg, I guess, Jr. and Weasel, who we know Weasel was played by Sean Gunn in The Suicide Squad. Interestingly enough, we'll talk about those two, actually. It seems like The Suicide Squad and Peacemaker are both going to be in the DCU. We'll talk about Peacemaker more in like 2 minutes from now. But it does seem like those characters will make the jump. And on top of this, he also announced that DCU is now led by a team of architects, which includes writers from Birds of Prey, Watchmen, Peacemaker, and I believe the Suicide Squad. So it is a lot of writers that are really good, and they know how to artistically do different things when they need to.
That's the smart thing that I like there. I read about, he's not having like, because I think the phase one of Marvel was written by like probably like a different person every movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until Winter Soldier where they kind of had some kind of a little bit of, you know, regular writers returning and coming back. Mm-hmm. Like one, I think the guy that wrote Infinity War was Christopher McCray. I think that was his name. Yeah, but he wrote a bunch of Avengers movies basically after Winter Soldier. So that news gave me hope. But as far as being excited for this show, I mean, the reason why I'm trepidatious about this show is because while I'm trepidatious, Bad Batch, Young Justice used to make me mad. I hope it's longer than 21 minutes. 25 minutes.
So it's 7 episodes, and I'm gonna kind of feel like Gunn is the writer for this show. So I'm assuming it is gonna be very intentional. It is gonna be more like Invincible than Bad Batch or some of Young Justice. Also want to mention that the team also has Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein on it. So it's interesting to see how those characters work when Universal kind of has the thing going on there. I feel like I guess they're public domain to do that.
Might be, yeah, because like Winnie the Pooh is public domain, but you can't do Winnie the Pooh like based on anything Disney. Like can't, yeah.
So but you can make him a scary horror bear and he come for you and get a sequel off of it. So that's good for them, by the way.
This is crazy.
On top of that, mentioning this, that there's going to be 2 shows and 2 movies intended to come out every year in the DCU or whenever they figure out things are coming out. The next thing that got announced TV show-wise, Waller, which is going to be a series. Actually, I don't know if this is going to be... I don't think this is animated. I think this is live action. Yeah. It's going to be dedicated to Amanda Waller. Stars Viola Davis, who one of the only actors coming over from DCEU, in the lead role. That will also feature Team Peacemaker, a.k.a. Jennifer Holland, and Waller's daughter. And then I forgot what the character's name was, but you see him in everything in New Girl, Superstore, and then he got his break in Peacemaker finally.
Yeah, this news is awesome because Amanda Waller is probably the best part of the original Suicide Squad, her and Will Smith. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're bringing her over to kind of relaunch this new universe is amazing because she's an amazing actor. The other thing though is Amanda Waller is also an amazing character. She's such a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like she's the worst. Like she's like Nick Fury in the Marvel. Malcolm, I can think of. Nick Fury is a jerk, but he's like a lovable jerk. Like okay, I see what you did that there. Amanda Waller is literally the worst. Like she's literally like the worst person in the world. Like worse than the Joker, worse than any rogues gallery you can think of. She is a horrible person. So to see that brought to light in 8, 9, 10 episodes. And I assume we'll see Peacemaker show up in this because it's kind of the same.
It's gonna be pretty much the Peacemaker season 1.5. I'm assuming, like you just said, it's gonna be like a little bit like Book of Boba Fett, where like Peacemaker will pop up in like 3 episodes. Those are the best episodes with John Cena. But the cool thing is, the show is gonna be written by Crystal Henry from Watchmen and Jeremy Carver, the creator of Doom Patrol. So it is gonna have that wacky vibe, most likely like Peacemaker a lot. And pretty much this show's happening because Gunn hasn't done anything for Peacemaker season 2 because he's got a ton of stuff to do right now. So
season's been really busy too. He's doing a bunch of like low level serious movies. I think he's trying to flex his serious muscle.
Oh, he's got Fast 10 too, Fast X. So
yeah. He has a movie on Peacock where he's like a politician or something like that.
Interesting. But Kevin, the DCU technically really starts in 2025. They claimed this is what's happening. This is the date that July 11th, 2025, the first, at least they're claiming, integral movie of the DCU, Blue Beetle, Shazam, Aquaman, Flash withstanding, going to figure out how that works in the next 2 years, is called Superman Legacy, featuring the Man of Steel, where James Gunn is writing and I believe most likely directing the film.
This is big news because I believe Man of Steel came out in 2016, 2014, 2013.
Yeah, 2013. That was a while ago.
So when this comes out, it would have been 12 years in between Superman movies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Superman solo movies. He's been in other things, but he was in Justice League for like, 10 minutes?
No, it depends which version of Justice League you're watching the Snyder Cut. Well, probably like 3 hours. So,
so this is big and... This is going to be a Superman where he's kind of already established. We're not going to see him come to Earth and be a kid for a little while and then grow up and learn. It's going to be a Superman that we already know is firmly Superman, but a younger one. This one has me very intrigued because I don't think the Superman character has been fully fleshed out yet on screen. Well, maybe in Justice League, the animated series, but other than that, because even the original ones from Christopher Reeve, he was more kind of like Captain America, but he had amazing powers. It was truth, justice, American way.
And like that's what they said in the actual quote for the movie. He's the embodiment of truth, justice, the American way. He's a kindness in a world that thinks kindness is old fashioned, which is kind of what we need. You know, it's nice just to have a hero like Captain America was that for the MCU. Superman, we all thought that. Then you know, he killed Zod, and then it's like, oh, this Superman's doom and gloomy. Let's get Superman that, you know, we can kind of be like, oh, that's dope. Like, I'm hopeful he's going to help and save the day and that maybe not, you know, go on murder sprees.
One of the issues why the Superman didn't work for a lot of people, because that Superman was loosely based on the New 52 Superman, mm-hmm. who's kind of like more of a jockish, kind of more brutish, mm-hmm. not as loving. He's more just like, I'm gonna take you down, and then you know we'll figure it out later. Like, if you ever watched the Justice League animated movie, the new one that came out, like in 2015, 2016, that's kind of like where that Superman was trending. I feel like, mm-hmm. but even when they tried to double back and make him more hopeful, it was like I said, the end of the Justice League movie, and we haven't seen him since. We saw him for 20 seconds in the end of Black Adam, and that's done with. Never see that guy again.
Yeah.
So now they have a chance to kind of start from scratch, which is good.
And the interesting thing, obviously, they didn't really announce actors for all this stuff. We have about 2 years to go for that, at least a year before they start filming. But that was the only thing that has an actual release date. Obviously, that's probably going to change. Did mention that the Batman trilogy with Matt Reeves, that's still coming out. I believe the next one comes out in 2024. Apparently, what they're trying to do is space out that movie and what we're about to talk about next. It has to be at least 6 months, so it'll be interesting to factor in your math there where that movie can release, because we have to talk about The Brave and the Bold, which will be the next DCU movie of Batman with his son Robin, aka who, Kevin?
Damian Wayne. Mm-hmm. And this one really intrigues me, because the one thing that no Batman movie has done, I'll give the Batman a little bit of a break because I just started, but no movie has ever explored the Bat family. And how they're basically a family of like spies / not assassins, they don't kill.
Batman Forever, kinda.
Kinda, but then Batman and Robin happened, and then that was it. They killed the whole franchise.
Wait, Batman Forever was... Oh, I keep getting... Batman and Robin should have been the damn second one, not the third one. That doesn't make sense every time. But yeah, Batman and Robin, we had technically... You know, Alfred's daughter was Batgirl or what, I guess, at the time. But they kind of hinted at it. But you're right. This is the first time we're really going to get it fleshed out. Batman is daddy. That's going to happen so much. You know it is.
And his quote-unquote baby mama is actually Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Talia
al Ghul. Mm-hmm. So that's a story right there that you're basically co-parenting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Co-parenting superheroes.
The cool thing is James Gunn, when he described Damian Wayne, who at the... Depending on how they frame it, which you're right, we might see a lot of Bat Family, is the fourth Robin, at least canonically in comics. We have Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, and Tim Drake, and then Damian Wayne. He's actually in Gotham Knights, which you can play if you so desire. It's okay. You don't have to watch the story. It's fine. But it's really cool. James Gunn wanted to say he's a son of a bitch trained assassin. So he's going to be quippy. You're going to love to hate. You're going to hate to love him, I think.
Yeah, he is going, like, as annoying as the kid was in Black Adam because he was trying to be too cool, you're going to hate Damian because he's a jerk. He's mm-hmm. literally a 14, 15-year-old jerk, because even though he's 14, he was raised like an adult.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would definitely go watch the animated series, if you haven't seen it before, Son of Batman, mm-hmm. to see just how much of a jerk this kid is.
I think the cool thing is, too, with this is that, like, it'll be interesting to see how it compares with the Batman. Obviously, you're gonna it's James Gunn. You assume, I mean, obviously, we won't know how things look until we get a live action thing with the Superman movie. But like, it'll be lighthearted, it'll be quippy, like we said. But he did say it is it's a strange father and son story. I'm excited actually to see what Gunn does. Maybe he might not be directing it. That's totally okay. What they do with villains of like, are we going to go zanier villains? We're going to try to do villains we haven't done before for Superman and Batman, because let's face it, we've seen Zod a lot. Doomsday, we're just completely over now because the Batman versus Superman. And then you would assume Joker, they'd probably pause on a little bit. I think obviously with Damian Wayne, League of Assassins, you bring back Ra's, Ra's al Ghul, and have him not played by Liam Neeson this time.
It was such a rule. We didn't see it coming.
Oh, okay. Yep, you were the bad guy. Qui-Gon was the bad guy.
Qui-Gon was the bad guy. He got me. Dang it, Qui-Gon.
But I'm excited for it. I think that might be, obviously, the Superman movie, but that might be my two or three thing I'm excited for the most, because number two, for sure, Kevin, has to be the next TV show we're talking about, which is what?
The Lanterns?
The Lanterns, correct.
Yes, yes, the Lanterns sounds... This was announced like what? I feel like it's like 10 years ago. This
Technically week. 10 years ago, but now it's like actually happening. We all knew like you said, not really 10 years ago, maybe like 3 years, pandemic time, yeah. You know, like during the pandemic that we were getting a Green Lantern-based HBO Max show. This, when he went to describe it, he said it would be an HBO show. So that's just sort of the like effort they're going to try to put towards it.
Yeah.
Where Greg Berlanti's Long in the Works TV show, that got scrapped. And he's not really working with DC anymore. So this is going to be under Gunn's vision. It'll be pretty much, he says, in the vein of True Detective, starring both Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart. Now, Kevin, we could finally get it. We could finally get it. Diggle, a.k.a. John David Ramsey, David Ramsey, could be Jon Stewart, not Hal Jordan.
I am not holding my breath. I've been fooled way too many times at this point.
I want it. Make Piero versus fans happy, please.
As much as I would love it, I am not holding my breath for it.
But, I mean, I'm excited. It is really, you know, the Green Lanterns. Green Lantern, in general, really hasn't got its due in live-action form. And, you know, obviously Justice League brought Jon Stewart to the mainframe. Arrow tried to do it. Didn't really work out. We had the Ryan Reynolds movie. That didn't work out either. So I'm assuming, hoping, this is going to be gold because... Come on, you're describing it as True Detective, and they literally are space detectives. Come on.
Yeah. And I think I heard him say it's going to be more based on Earth. They're not going to be doing a lot of space faring, which keep the cost of the other show down, which is a good idea. I am wondering, though, since it's going to be a TV show, but it's going to be a True Detective light, are we getting True Detective caliber actors?
I would hope so. I just saw... on Twitter, there was a fan casting where they had Daniel Kaluuya as Jon Stewart.
I can get down with that.
I mean, he's kind of done with the MCU, at least for right now. He was off screen for all of Wakanda Forever. So why not? I don't remember who the other actor was going to play Hal Jordan. But I'm kind of down for it. I think really, like, maybe get a John David Washington. That'd be dope as hell, too.
That'd be cool. I mean, for Hal Jordan.
Give me John Boyega. Come on. I know all the two Johns. In a
day. Well, he actually would be very good at John Stewart. But even for Hal Jordan, the guy that was a finalist for Batman before they gave it to Pattinson, he was Beast in X-Men.
Oh, Nicholas Holt.
I could see him. I mean, they're already.
I don't know. Ever since I saw the menu, you know? Nicholas Holt, I just seen a new light. I was like, you play a good douche. Yes, you do.
Well, Hal Jordan's kind of a douche.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's douchey. He's still a heart of gold, but he's douchey.
some people, the rumor has always been Chris Pine. People have Alden Ehrenreich here. I just literally Googled Green Lantern fan cast. Liam Hemsworth, I guess. You could also put... we'll talk about this actor, because I think Glenn Powell was brought up from Top Gun and from Scream Queens. I think I know what he could play easily and be great. But it's exciting. We don't know casting for it. But we have to talk about another movie that's coming around the same time frame. That's actually kind of it's interesting because it's called The Authority. And it sounds a lot like The Boys.
Yeah, I feel like this show was going to be James Gunn's attempt to boys up a DC property.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already kind of done that. The Guardian's a little bit more edgy. When it comes to MCU heroes, but they don't go too far.
Mm-hmm.
But we all saw Peacemaker and how far James Gunn can go now. Yeah. So I'm thinking The Authority is going to be that. Because this is a film too, right? Not a TV show.
It is a movie, as of right now, at least, yes.
I could see this maybe being a rated R movie or very edgy PG-13. Mm-hmm. Very edgy PG-13. Like Wedding Crashers circa 2000, whatever that was, 7 or 6, era, PG-13 raunchy.
Yeah. So it's going to be the first appearance of Wildstorm canon in the DCU. It's a lot of heroes that have powers that aren't your typical, you know, Justice League members. So that's going to be the interesting one. Obviously, it will have the DCU label on it, but I think that's going to have a hard time, I think, appealing to normal fans. Like, what is the Authority? That'll probably get a different name change. I have a feeling that might be the thing that, like, gets reworked a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine the pitch for this was, well, you did Guardians, so we trust you, mm-hmm. so you can do the Authority. Same, I feel like even going back to the Creatures and Commandos thing, it's a show, so I don't feel it's as risky as a movie, but this mm-hmm. is risky as a movie.
Yeah. On top of that, we also got the announcement that there will be a show called Paradise Lost based on Paradise Island, a.k.a. Themyscira, the home planet, or not planet, but home island of Wonder Woman. And that this show will be kind of a Game of Thrones style prequel set on the all-female island before Wonder Woman is born.
This will be interesting because, I mean, obviously the catch will be, I mean, I'm going all the way forward. Who knows when it will be. But the series finale probably is going to be when Wonder Woman is born, because she's like the first woman that was mm-hmm. born on that mm-hmm. island in forever.
And
she's made by Bruce or something like that.
There's talk right now they're trying to get Gal Gadot in talks to be in the DCU. That'll be interesting because maybe that's why they're doing Paradise Lost. And obviously we said at the beginning of this that chapter one isn't complete. So maybe this is, all right, here's your primer for more Themyscira stuff. At the end of the chapter, you'll get who the actual Wonder Woman is. Depending if this is a two-season show, I don't know. Who knows?
A question actually about all these shows. Are they going to be multiple seasons, or are they like one and done, and then we can just do something else?
They haven't said. Obviously, here's the thing. We'll find out more, obviously, in the next 2 years. This doesn't have a date either. But it's interesting. This is kind of the side of like, okay. But it's a tease of what I actually want, kind of how Krypton was a Superman show before Superman. It's kind of the same thing almost.
Yeah, but I was doing a little bit of research on comic book TikTok, which is sometimes a toxic place, surprisingly, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. but they were saying there's this comic book run where they figure out what happens to the boys that were born with Themyscira, and they basically like Spartan them. They throw them off mountains and kill them. Like, good Lord.
I mean, we'll get that. It'll be interesting to see how that is. Obviously, when that show comes out, it'll be interesting when all these things kind of come out. There's just a list of how he revealed things. But on top of that show, we are also getting an HBO Max. He highlighted HBO Max series based on a very lower tiered superhero who is from the future and goes by one Booster Gold.
You don't cast Donald Faison and give him a second chance from Legends of the Air.
I don't think so, because I think they're going to go Glenn Powell from Top Gun. I think they go with him because he's a quippy actor.
I want Donald Faison. He was going to be Booster Gold in I think, season 6 of Legends, and they canceled it. He never got a shot. I'm still upset about it. I'm still mad about it.
Well, Kevin, by the time this thing comes out, he could be, well, he's 48 now. He could be, like, 53 by the time the Booster Gold show comes out.
Well, I didn't want to say it, but I was saying, like, wow, Hoodie, when Superman Legacy comes out, you'll be firmly in your 30s.
Yeah, I'll be firmly in my 30s. We don't want to talk about that. We're like, all this is coming out in 2025, right? I'm going to be 37 by the time the damn Batman movie comes out or whatever. But this is interesting. Obviously, Gunn described it as imposter syndrome as a superhero. It seems like it is going to be more akin to his Gunn style, more like a Harley Quinn show, which isn't, you know, the premier HBO show like a Lanterns, or how they're kind of making Waller seem. But it will be like your Thursdays it comes out, and it's a fun time.
Yeah, it'd be one of those fun time shows. I can totally see that.
Mm-hmm. But on top of that, still got two more movies that are this first chapter or first part of chapter one, Gods and Monsters. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow is going to take cues from the recent Tom King written miniseries focused on Superman's cousin, kind of seeing the difference between Superman, who was sent to Earth, raised by loving parents, and Supergirl, raised on a rock off Krypton and watched everyone around her die when she was 14 years old.
It's going to be a dark show.
Yeah. It's a miniseries. No, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a movie. It's going to be the first Supergirl movie in a while, since the 80s. It'll be interesting to see how Sasha Calle factors into this from The Flash, because we know she's supposed to play Supergirl. So that'll be interesting to see if that happens, or the recast character of Supergirl. But I'm excited. I think obviously we're now past the point where we've had Melissa Benoist as Supergirl, and by the time this comes out, it'll probably have been 10 years since then. So
wow,
that's how it happens. Spider-Man, it happens every almost 4 years. So
she had a kid, didn't she? Her kid might be like in middle school.
Or her kid will be in middle school by the time this comes out. And then Kevin, final thing that got announced, a little horror film that promises to close out the first part of the chapter and be scary, but related in the near future is what?
Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing, baby. He's coming back. Or it's coming back.
I remember I had a, I was a kid, I had a glow in the dark Swamp Thing toy. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
But even after having a CW show, being on the Harley Quinn show, and a bunch of movies and TV shows back in the day, DC's still making Swamp Thing a thing, hopefully. Interesting thing is, they did say that it's going to be very dark, very kind of like Wes Craven, or inspired by the 80s movies like Wes Craven. But it'll be interesting to see how they have that. And it's cool to get different styles than DCU, not have everything be cookie cutter, how kind of Marvel kind of is right now. But then, or was, at least back in the day. And then to see, all right, now here's Swamp Thing hanging out with Superman and Batman.
I wonder if, number one, if, did he say he was writing this?
He did not say that. They just announced it. I'm assuming it just probably depends how the first couple things go, is on how he writes or directs things.
Because I'm pretty, not sure, but I wonder if he writes and directs this, it'll be, it will be like more of a serious Slither.
Remember that, Slither? That is interesting. Obviously, he will have most likely producer role on it. Yeah. So maybe he'll hire a director who he thinks will be the next him, you know, like from 20 years ago, and see what happens by the time this comes out.
Shoot, what's his name? He's in everything that James Gunn does. He was
Yondu. Michael Rooker?
I want him to be Swamp Thing.
Michael Rooker, well, technically, if the Suicide Squad is canon to the DCU, he was already Savant, so he died already.
But if it's not,
he can hide in the swamp. Savant died and became Swamp Thing.
he'll definitely, well, if Savant was a part of the old DC Snyder thing, he showed up in one of these things, I guarantee it.
Oh, yes. I mean, a lot of people are thinking that one, Chris Pratt might also show up as maybe Booster Gold 2. That a lot of people are thinking that Batista had to say it this week, is that he's not asking James Gunn for a handout and to be Bane, which, let's face it, Bane would be pretty dope to get Batista's Bane. But a lot of people are even fan casting him as Hugo Strange, which would be dope as hell.
If you see that trailer for the that movie, the Knock in the Woods?
Knock in the Cabin in the Woods, yes.
He's very Hugo Strange like in that. Mm-hmm. Very monotone, very stoic. So I can definitely see him being Hugo Strange.
But I'm excited. I mean, kind of ending thoughts on this before we hit some other things much quicker than what we did on this. I'm half excited. A lot of these things, I'm like, great, we got a new Batman, got new Superman. The Batman's doing its own thing. Joker, say what you will, we got Lady Gaga on the next one. That's dope. But it does seem there is a little bit still of some disjointment, really. I think having that clean slate, being like, I think saying Aquaman's the last thing that's done, great. But I think having the Flash be, it's resetting it, but we still have Aquaman. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. For me, it wasn't a slam dunk. Like, I remember when, was it phase 2 or 3 they announced? Mm-hmm. When it was like, you know, Black Panther, Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like, oh my, people were just basically melting in front of their computer screens. Uh-huh. This is kind of more of a mixed bag for me. I mean, I'm happy about the movies, pretty much. Maybe not as excited about the Authority and Swamp Thing a little bit, because Swamp Thing is just, if they do it, I hope they kind of do it like Werewolf by Night, make it a legit horror thing and not kind of tread on any superhero tropes. But the series for me are kind of hit and miss. I mean, Lanterns, Booster Gold, cool. Paradox Lost is going to be a hard show to do. It's just going to be a
hard
show.
I think Waller will be good too, because it will just be, like we said, 1.5 of Peacemaker. But Creature Command, yeah. Commando, Creature, whatever it was called, that's the worst thing is that it's hard to remember what that's called. It's going to be okay, cool. I'm just going to, you're going to have a lot of people figure out what it is because they're looking for something to watch on HBO Max and not like, I need to watch this on HBO Max.
Yeah, and then with Paradise Lost, because it's going to be pretty much a dominant female show. Mm-hmm. All the stupid, you know, knuckle dragons come out the woodwork saying this show is sexist because no men are on it. I'm like, shut up.
Well, you know what I mean? Also, sorry, out of context, that seemed I said bad thing. It's a tease for Wonder Woman. It's not a tease. Yeah. Yeah. It is really, oh, it's cool. We're going to get everything you want, but not really, I think. And then a lot of people are going to critique it. And it'll be interesting, too, because by the time that comes out, we will have been through, hopefully by then, a couple seasons of House of the Dragon. Hopefully a couple seasons of Rings of Power for the Lord of the Rings show. So it's like, all right, now are you just being derivative and just putting in a superhero shtick on it? Because that's the thing. We know they're all very, as far as I know, to my knowledge, Themyscira, Wonder Woman had all the powers. Everyone else kind of just an Amazon and a warrior. So it's like, but like Lasso of Truth. Where's the invisible jet? Damn it! Does that become a thing? You know, like all this stuff kind of comes with it too.
I think that too. With I think that the potentially strongest show out of this out of the show lineup is Waller.
Uh-huh.
I'm really excited for that. I think that's, that could be almost like Easter egg central, but not like a forced Easter egg type of thing. Kind of like because I didn't say the movie. The scene in Black Adam when he went to the containment chamber, and she showed the lady from showed up. What's her name again? From Peacemaker,
Jennifer Holland.
Yeah, when she showed up, that was a really cool Easter egg, but it didn't feel forced. It wasn't like, you know, here we go.
No, it was like, remember we would have had some random character. Let's make it a character people recognize exactly. From earlier this year. Yeah,
this one, we can actually kind of see files on people that already exist because we're not doing, it looks like we're doing a lot of origin things here. We might just join them as they already are.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing we critiqued so much of the DCEU is like, they're showing us damn Batman's origin again in Batman vs. Superman. Wonder Woman, we kind of needed it because we didn't really have that. Really at all in live action version for most people. But it's like a lot of it, like you're right, did waste a lot of space and time on origin stories for every character, at least 30 minutes of every movie.
Like if I see Batman's parents die one more time, I get it.
Well, see, in this case, really you know, we're seeing Batman as a dad. So that's fine. He's telling his son how his grandparents died. You know, that's fine. That makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. But like, if, again, like even with Superman, you know, we get it, you know, the Doom Planet, spaceship, Kansas parents. Okay, we got it. Let's get to the stuff of him flying around saving people. You know what I mean? but the other thing I'm really excited about, too, actually, as a film, is the Supergirl Woman Tomorrow thing has me very excited. Because I feel like that could, I mean, and this is us doing our stupid nerd predictions before one movie or show has been released yet. That could be antithesis of a crisis storyline.
Yeah, and obviously we'll see how this goes. This is a 10-year plan, and this is seems like the first 4 years of that 10-year plan, and we'll see what goes from there. But it is interesting to see that, like you said, will it end in a crisis, and that's the end of chapter one of something. It's called Gods of Monsters. Will we see all these characters even out with that? I do think it is cool we're getting a more fleshed-out universe. I was telling Mr. Eric V this, is that Marvel, at end of Endgame, had 100... maybe not named characters, but 100 characters going up against Thanos, and that was the universe of MCU.
Yeah.
DCEU, at least, was really like, here's Justice League, that's all we got. And it's like, there's nothing else going on, where I think this helps that, like, Swamp Thing's over here. He's not here because he's dealing with Swamp Thing. Swamp Things. You know, the Creature Commandos are here, the Authority, cannon fodder that could be your Eternals of this, but we, whatever.
I wonder, too, if a crisis thing is what they're doing, because I believe in the crisis on a storyline, some worlds did die and they didn't get a chance to save them before they died.
I don't think
so that could be the way to get rid of the Snyderverse. Like, hey, this is the beginning of a crisis and we'll get to it again in 7 years.
I don't think they do that. I think it, because especially with him labeling Elseworlds, and obviously you got to figure out what they do with video games. That's the whole thing that may or may not happen, really. But it's really
that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they announced a Wonder Woman video game, like, what, last year? We've heard nothing about it.
Yeah, so it's like, does it have to be based on Paradise Lost and all that stuff? Other interesting thing is really, look at Marvel. Everything we see when they do the phase announcements, we're like, great! And then they usually drop or change a couple things. You remember Armor Wars was supposed to be a show, now it's a movie. You know, we had a Thunderbolts thing that never happened. I think that might go the same thing with this, where it really is, those tent poles that we identified and you've pretty much seen a lot of people rally behind, those will stick. The other things will change. You know, Thunderbolts was supposed to be a whole thing and it was like, here's a season, that's it. And it's like, oh, we tried. It's not really canon that much. I think that will happen with the other things and we'll figure it out. You know, in Gunn, we trust. The man's delivered so far in everything he's done, the MCU and DC in general so far.
Yeah, there's not many creators in Hollywood that are doing what, that are ahead of the studio like this, that I kind of trust more than Gunn, because he's kind of seen it from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of knows what to do already. He's had to kind of add his Gunn flair to it, because, you know, Gunn has a pretty has a way about his movies and his shows that just kind of ooze coolness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'll be excited to see how he adds his flair to it. What do you say to the people that think that they need more, like you said, heavy hitters in this? Because, I mean, we get Superman, we get Batman, but there's we get Flash in June, of course, but there's no, like, you know, There's no Aquaman, looks like, in this. There's no.
Oh, yeah, and that's Wonder the thing is that prequel. Is the Flash that's in this Flash movie coming out part of the DCU? Is it going to move into Elseworlds? Because you remember the whole thing was Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck were coming as Batmans, both back to the movie. Funko Pop concept leaked, having both of them being Funko Pops. Remember, Ben Affleck was supposed to pop up in the Aquaman movie, yeah, which was a thing. Wonder Woman's also supposed to pop up in Flash. So that they have a lot of, pun intended, damage control, which was a DC or a Marvel thing, but also was a DC thing too once upon a time, of really trying to figure out, let's get this all swept under the rug. But we know really Superman, Gunn himself kind of said that's what really, really kicks things off in hyperdrive, and everything else right now is kind of ending one thing, giving you a little bit of primer, and then ready.
I am really excited to see a Blue Beetle trailer. I really want to see what this thing looks like.
Yeah,
I
can't wait. Waiting on that soon. But something, Kevin, we don't want to probably wait our hopes for is E3 this year, because turns out Xbox, Nintendo, and PlayStation have all opted out of attending E3 this year. We know this year E3 was coming back big for the first time in a while. It's going to be managed by ReedPop, which has done PAX, a lot of other conventions. And it turns out the big three won't be a part of it, mainly because they figured we can do it on our own.
I mean, once Nintendo started doing those directs, they kind of realized we don't need to go anywhere and spend all this money to make this ostentatious booth.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one year, the PlayStation booth had levels to it. It was crazy.
It was good times. And this is funny enough. This is a fun story about E3. I actually met Neil Druckmann and didn't realize at the time. So, yes, the executive producer and creator of The Last of Us show, I met him 5 years ago and didn't realize
it. You guys are best friends.
Yeah, we're besties. And my brother's besties with Jack Black in the PlayStation booth.
And I'm besties with Diggle's brother and the black guy from Punisher.
What a time. What a time, Kevin.
What a time to be alive.
But yeah, continue. A lot of booths. PlayStation and Xbox would usually, this is when we went 5-ish years ago, whatever, would have one side of the convention, and then you go down through this tiny hall. Nintendo would have a big center there. Turns out, according to IGN, all three of them aren't going to attend. Really, I kind of think, one, to save money. Two,
definitely save money, yeah.
Because they can do their own thing. And three, they realize, just show us the damn video. That's all the majority of fans knowing about E3 1 anyway.
And then I remember when they kind of broke through, which kind of introduced us to Discord, honestly. Mm-hmm. The technology broke through where you can demo games now through, you know, remote. You mm-hmm. don't need to be in the same mm-hmm. room anymore. I can't imagine what the cost was like to build those booths, to get all those systems out there and ready to be on 24/7. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
So if you're trying to plan to go to E3 this year, be a little skeptical. Obviously, Xbox is still doing its thing, going to have a presentation, most likely in the Microsoft Theater that week. PlayStation will have something, and Nintendo will probably have something Zelda-based, because let's face it, that's the main thing it's got going on this year.
We're 100 days away. Are you excited?
I'm excited, but give me another damn trailer. That's another game I think is going to get delayed, like how Jedi Survivor just got delayed by 6 weeks this week.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like a horrible delay. It wasn't like from March to September, which we've seen before. It was just, you know, April. It'll be fine, right?
Yeah. So Jedi Survivor, they announced Respawn that it's getting delayed to April 28th instead of March 15th, which is unfortunate because literally last week I made a tweet, March 15th, big day in entertainment with WWE 2K23. Now just owning the date by itself and Shazam coming out that day. But I think it makes more sense. Obviously, they said to work on the bugs, which a lot of people, when Fallen Order came out, a lot of problems was the bugs with the game. And I think, great. We know they said the story's done. All that's done. They're just really fixing the glitches and all that good stuff, which is great. And also, it comes out literally the week before Star Wars Day of May 4th. So it's perfect. You buy the game, you beat it by May 4th. But it does swell or calm down the rumors of Cal Kestis popping up in The Mandalorian.
I think, though, I imagine like there was somebody at EA that saw your tweet, like, he's too happy. Delay the game.
But yeah, it's okay. I think now it also makes, I think it does. Let me check our game list of our Fantasy Critic games when we drafted. Is that makes, obviously, Hogwarts Legacy comes out in February as the big game, 2K23 in March. That makes March more the Resident Evil 4 remake month, coming out the 24th. And then April, really owned by Jedi Survivor. And then May is a cluster F with Zelda, supposedly, Suicide Squad, supposedly, and more.
Resident Evil has made more money off remakes the past few years than they have of new
but
games.
But they've been good, Kevin. They've been great. I'm excited. I beat Village. I can play 4 now. That's the same thing almost.
I mean, it's smart business. Don't make a new game. Just refresh this old one. It's fine.
So if you're hyped, you got to wait about, like Kev said, almost less than 100 days. Probably about 75 days now for Jedi Survivor.
Honestly, this year's just delay 1 more week and release on Star Wars Day.
They could. I do think it is better to have it out and then you just continually promote it. Because, you know, it depends. Some years, Star Wars Day is banger and it's got a bunch of stuff. And some days it's just like, okay, yeah, we're just celebrating Star Wars.
Yeah, true. Usually it's just like, hey, you can get a R2-D2 coffee cup at Dunkin' Donuts. Yay.
Get your crock pot. It's C-3PO colored.
Exactly. Yay!
But that's it. It's exciting. You know, we're still getting games coming out. It gives you still a month with every big game coming out every month, which is kind of better because you can space out your gaming.
Yeah, it's definitely been a gaming drought. So kind of looking forward to this
kicking off in a couple
explosion of 2023.
Kicking off in about 10-ish days. But something that did kick off is the Bad Batch episode 6. Pop up that logo, Kevin. Whoop! Gonna be a quick review because, like we predicted last week, it was as titled. The Bad Batch defending a tribe from a team of invaders. But little did we know, it was a tribe of Wookiees on Kashyyyk going up against some Trandoshans, a.k.a. some Bosk species. And one of those Wookiees turns out, little rookie Jedi you may have met from the Clone Wars, named Gungi.
Gungi, baby. Gungi, he made his debut. This is really cool.
It was dope as hell. He had his green lightsaber and everything that had the... I don't have it with me. It's packed away somewhere, who knows, of his little like wooden made elemental lightsaber. Dope as hell. It was really cool to have a Jedi back in the show. It's the first time we had it since I think the pilot,
really. Yeah, it was
with Kanan and his yeah. master. But it really was the Bad Batch were doing a mission for Sid, kind of how we predicted, and they run into Gungi, who's escaping, pretty much being transported as a prisoner. They take him to Kashyyyk. And it's dope because the whole time, I'm going to say Chewie, Gungi is talking in Shree Wook, which is essentially Wookiee talk for the Wookiees. And we find out that Gungi, if you remember, he's never been to Kashyyyk really, besides being a baby, because the Jedi Order take kids when they're infants.
One of the little dirty secrets. Hey, we kidnap kids when they're infants because they have powers. Like, hey, this is our baby now. See you later.
So the entire time the Batch get there, obviously Gungi does some Jedi powers to calm the native species of the planet. And he meets, this is the land of your people, his people, a small tribe of Wookiees. And Chewbacca, I knew I was going to do it. Gungi asks, like he doesn't know who his tribe is. He's never met them. And really he connects with this small tribe of Wookiees. And it is interesting, I put this out, is that Gungi is Omega's first Jedi in a while. Because she did technically hang out with Shaak Ti and all that during the Clone Wars, but we never knew Omega was there, really, till the Bad Batch happened. But it was really cool to see Omega really team up with Gungi as two kids having to deal through a war and then Order 66. We find out the Trandoshans are hunting the Wookiees, as usual, with their blood rivalry for their pelts. And this leads to some Trandoshan versus Wookiee action. It's really reminiscent of Return of the Jedi, where the Trandoshans have taken over clone and droid tanks and are about to invade the village. They, you know, do their best, like Tarzan interpretation, which they literally did. There was a moment when Wrecker impersonates a Wookiee that they take over the Trandoshans, and it's really Gungi going up against the mega Trandoshan. He wins. Save the day. And it really was like, all right, cool. We're getting there. We're going to get something fun. We're getting some build up because next week we know we have 2 episodes and then it ends. I was like, you're so close to building something. Main thing was there was clones on the planet talking to Trandoshan saying we should talk to our higher ups in the Empire. Trandoshan said no. And it's like for a split second, Inquisitors? Are we getting Inquisitors on this show?
Yeah.
And we did, but that's okay.
I wonder if that'd be an Inquisitor show one day. I feel like the Inquisitor lore is interesting to explore.
It is. I think, obviously, depending how Kenobi goes, I don't know if it's good. Like we said, we don't know if it's getting that second season or not. We'll find out most likely on May 4th this year, around then, or Star Wars Celebration. But I think it would have been cool to see Inquisitors animated Clone Wars style because Bad Batch is still more animated Clone Wars style instead of Rebel style.
Yeah, this one gave me hope, I would say. Because last week I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can watch it every week.
Yeah.
I really don't. but this one gave me hope, especially going into next week with two episodes. So at least I'll get my Star Wars flavor. Star Wars flavor next week.
So you'll get a full, like 50 minutes, an hour, whatever you want to call it, of Bad Batch next week, which is great because you'd assume, I think we said last week, it was like, all right, maybe we'll get some Palpy next week.
Yeah, because the episodes are called The Clone Conspiracy and Truth and Consequences.
Mm, come on, baby. Sounds good. Sounds like we're going to find out. I hope maybe we get some Fives Echo little thingy there with The Clone Conspiracy.
Yeah, and like you said, the way this one ended kind of gives, what do you mean clones? In the, I thought all the clones were gone. Interesting, you know?
Yeah. So it's exciting. And then really February kicks it all off. You know, we have that. We have the week after. We have Ant-Man coming out. We have Hogwarts Legacy coming out too, depending on how you feel about it. Then literally March 1st, we're a month away from Mando coming back in our lives, baby.
I love the Hogwarts Legacy TikToks right now. How everyone, pretty much anybody's going to have a time for everybody.
But here's the thing. A fun fact, if you're excited for Hogwarts Legacy, you cannot Avada Kedavra everybody in the game because any NPC that you can't really kill because, you know, they're doing story or they're just background, yeah. They just dodge your spell the entire time. And they just go, whoa.
A quick note, Hoodie. I mean, I talked to you earlier that my daughter and I watched Wakanda Forever again. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe Time on Order, have you seen this yet?
I don't know. Go ahead. Keep going.
Canonically, this takes place after Hawkeye and Moon Knight and before She-Hulk.
Okay. I mean, TV shows aren't really good litmus tests for us for like timeline-wise, but okay.
Yeah, I thought it took place the same time as Thor on the Love and Thunder. That's why I was kind of surprised about it.
I mean, I see it. I think this was, it was, we said it was its own kind of thing and close with the Talokan people and Wakandans, so that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. It just, I love the time I don't order off stuff. I was always surprising to me when something comes out. I'm like, okay, where's it going to be? Where's it going to be? Oh, it's right there.
And now you know. Well, hopefully you learned a lot, especially about the DCU, because whoo, we did a deep dive on that bad boy this week.
Yeah, I'm killing this Gatorade right now.
You know, that's okay. That's okay. I was hurting on Monday. You hurting on the Wednesday and the Thursday.
You know what? This could be karma because I was making fun of you on Monday. You this could
I
be
feel,
karma.
I feel great right now. So thank you. Just needed to sleep an extra day. But you can see everything we talked about so much more. Having this little stylist makes you feel like David Letterman, like, woohoo, cut to Kevin, woo. But you can see everything we talked about so much more. Hot99.5.com/CrisisCrew. Or you can go to twitch.tv or youtube.com/infinite_pods. This special episode that came out on Wednesday that is live right now. So, hey, if you heard us on a Thursday or whenever, we always surprise you, baby. Always keep it locked to those channels.
We never know when it might pop up. Oh. We probably should be better streamers and actually, schedule tell people. Yeah, who cares?
The loyal people, they know. They know.
Exactly, they know. The people, they know.
You know, keep subscribe and put that ring bell on, as Kevin's daughter would say.
Yeah, subscribe, hit the bell.
You know, sure, go ahead, hit all the bells. Baby, ring the bell, ring the bell, shake it, shake it. But as always, my name's Hoodie.
And I'm Kevin.
And you officially listened to this Wednesday early special episode of What, Kev?
Crisis.
On?
Infinite.
Podcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.